Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. You know, we're so fired up about helping everyone make 2019 the greatest year of their lives. If you get nothing else from today's call, please let this next statement go deep into your very being. Here it is. Never allow your circumstances to cloud your thinking, destroy your dreams, or make you settle for less than God's best for your life.
Hallelujah. I'll
say that again. Never allow your circumstances to cloud your thinking, destroy your dreams, or make you settle for less than God's best for your life. We started this teaching on yesterday's call. We now have 88 days left in 2019, or if you prefer, 316,800 seconds. Before continuing, let's do a brief review of yesterday's call. Number one, believe things are going to change. First, you must believe that God is a miracle-working Savior. Matthew 9:28.
Second, he wants you and your family saved and blessed also. Acts 16:31 and Romans 10:9.
Third, don't be afraid. Just believe. I love Mark 5:36. Mark 5:36.
And fourth, we must believe all things are possible for us. And that is in Mark 9:23.
Fifth, you must believe and not doubt. Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23.
And sixth, you will receive what you believe. And that's found in Mark 11:24. We like the New Living Translation.
Seventh, when you believe, you will receive power.
Hallelujah.
John 1:12. We like the Amplified.
Number two, be a doer, not a talker. Do you know what impresses God? What makes a difference with him? Let me read you from Romans 2, verse 13. Romans 2:13 in the Message Bible. Merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God. Says it right there. God is impressed by what we actually do, not what we intended to do.
Number three. Confession prepares us for success now and forever. There's a powerful reason why the old saying, confession is good for the soul, is more than just an old saying. It's a spiritual truth, a scriptural directive when we're walking with God. If we do not confess our sins and ask for his forgiveness, then we're in deep trouble now and for eternity.
Number four. Expect something good from God to happen today. Psalm 5:3 in the New International Version says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Child of God, if you begin your day with supernatural expectations, you won't be disappointed. If something good happens today, why don't expect it to happen all the days of the rest of the following from here on, 88 days for this year, but every day here and thereafter.
Amen. Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number five, love people like Jesus said. There are three people you need to love. First is God. If I were to ask you if you love God, your immediate answer would probably be, absolutely, with my whole heart. The real question is whether or not God would say that you love him with your whole heart. He uses a very simple test to determine the extent to which we love him. John 14:15, Classic Amplified. If you really love me, you will keep obey my commands. John 14:23 again, Classic Amplified. Jesus answered, "If a person really loves me, he'll keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him." God's criteria for whether or not we love him with our whole hearts is based on whether or not we obey his instructions.
Second, loving yourself. Love yourself. It's been said by someone that if you don't love yourself, no one else will. Well, we could probably debate that on spiritual implications. However, we do think it is important to love your spouse, yourself, specifically who you are in him. He made you. You need to be glorifying in why we were created in his image and after his likeness. Now, we could give you 7 reasons why you should love yourself, but they're all tied to the third person you should love.
And the third person, everybody else. I frequently ask people how often God should have to tell them to do something in order for us to get it and live it. The answer, once. But he did it 6 times in the scripture, but we're only going to give you just one of them, because it says it all. Mark 12:31, Classic Amplified. The second is like it, and is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. The bottom line, if we love our neighbors ourselves, then obviously it's important that we love ourselves.
Amen. Number 6, be a giver even when it's not convenient. On this particular point, we could simply ask you to look at the bottom of every page in the Bible that deals with seed time and harvest and tithes and offerings to see if there's an asterisk that says that this verse is excluded from being relevant to you just because you think you're broke. Truthfully, that should really be settled once and for all, that excuses of those who say they can't afford to give. You have to plant seed before you can expect to see a harvest or anything other than perhaps weeds.
That's true.
Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the Living Bible Translation says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. We've heard the comments and well-meaning, even good intention words of those who say they're going to give great things into the kingdom when they receive that financial windfall. The problem is, it's not going to happen. How can we be so sure about these good folks, even though their intentions are really, well-placed and want to pay off the mortgage or, give a whole bunch of money to their favorite ministry? The thing is simple. It's not going to happen because of what God's word says in Luke 16:10. It tells us plainly. In Luke 16:10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If we don't sow what we have from what we have right now, we're never going to sow later on.
That's so true. Number 7, move out of your comfort zone and into the passing lane. Your comfort zone is an enemy of your future, a hindrance to your success, a stumbling block to your destiny. If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave or surpass your current reality. Here are 7 ways to get out of your comfort zone. Number 1, realize why you are where you are. If you're working at the same job, in the same position you were 10 years ago, if you're still paying off the same debts, it's time for some self-examination on your part, introspection. Max Dupree, successful business leader, once said, we cannot become what we want to be while remaining what we are.
Number 2, and listen to this so closely, let go of what's holding you back. If we don't face our fears, they'll just keep growing.
So true. Number 3, try something new. It's time to forget the way things used to be done or have never been done. If you limit your future because of your past, you'll always be blue. In fact, you could probably make it into a country and western song. But the bottom line is this, God can't do something new as long as we're staying where we are.
And holding on to the past.
That's it.
Number four, good habits will move you up and out. Bad habits will bring you down. So what is a habit? It's simply something that we've done so often that it becomes easy. In other words, it's a behavior that we keep repeating. On a recent call, we asked everybody to write down this question and then answer it. What one habit would you like to have more than anything else?
Wow.
In Job 22:26 in the Classic Amplified, it offers this advice. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways.
Number five, maybe you need somebody different in your foxhole. If you want to break free from your comfort zone, you may need to break free from some of the people you've been hanging around with. Do your friends encourage, discourage, and or ignore your dreams, hopes, and plans for the future? Make no mistake, if your friends are laughing at those who want more out of life, or they're happy where they are, you can be certain they'll never do anything to help you break free from your comfort zone.
Number six, travel away from stupidity, bypass ignorance, and arrive at wisdom. If we're trying to live in our comfort zone, it's because we don't know something or we're not willing to do something with the what we know. Romans 1 verse 13 says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but it was hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." According to Strong's Concordance, the word ignorance means not knowing. Simply said, ignorance is not knowing the facts. Now, stupid is knowing the facts, but choosing not to do anything with or about that information and insight. There is a cure for ignorance. It's called get knowledge.
Wow, good. And number seven, keep yourself motivated during your exodus from the comfort zone. What will it take to keep you motivated on your move from mediocrity to success, from just getting by to more than enough, from average to excellence, from your comfort zone to sitting on the throne of your kingdom? A successful person is always blessed and motivated by the successful testimony of others, knowing it won't be long before they'll be joining them. And this is really important. When we can get as excited about somebody else's success as our own, we can watch out because our success is about to overtake us. One of the other keys, let me just say this. While you're on your daily commute, turn your radio off and your imagination on. Your future is in front of you, but you'll never discover it by living in your comfort zone. Believe, do, confess, expect, love, give, and get out of your comfort zone. These seven things that we've just shared can help you do that. Over the last 2 days, we've talked about things that you can do to maximize the next 88 days in your life. You might want to listen to these teachings again, but let me just tell you, we're praying with you in agreement.
Amen.
For the rest of this year to be the best year of your life.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.